Again, God, we lift up and magnify your name. We offer our praise and our adoration. We humble ourselves before you. We are in awe by the wonderful things that you do. Truly, Lord, our life is in your hands. And no, we cannot explain it all. No, we cannot take credit for any of it. And so therefore, God, we just give you all the glory. How wonderful you are to us. The writer asks a simple question, yet it reverberates with great meaning. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We're honored to have been placed just a little lower than the angels. But Lord, we know that we have a high place with you. You've prepared a greater place for us. But now, Lord, in this season of life here on terra firma, we want to do the best we can while we can. And so, God, we sit in our tent doors and we listen. We desire to hear what you are saying to the church. Speak to us, kind sir. Our ears, our hearts, our minds, our all is inclined unto you. What would you have us to do? Show us the more excellent way. Lift us from our dry and dreary places. Oh God, take us and position us near the wellsprings of life. We'll be refreshed, rejuvenated, restored, revived, that we might indeed run on and see what the end shall be. Now, God, I pray that you give preaching power and authority over everything. Oh, God, that this word would change lives, save someone today. And, God, let us remember that the devil is a liar. We can be saved from the uttermost to the guttermost. We can be saved. Save one today. Deliver us from evil. God, make preaching relevant. God, let it be the strength of this people. For thy word we've hidden in our hearts, that we would not sin against you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand again. Thank you, God, for all things. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise together. Let's bless the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Come on, wake up, give God some praise. Do like Grandma said, just think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for you. Come on, he's done more than that. He's been better than that. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Mark in the 12th chapter. It's good to see you. God bless you. It's so good to see all of the people of God gathered in this sacred place. See you having come from near and far to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. There is a blessing in the praise. Mark chapter 12, if you will. If you come down to verse 41, it is the last offering of Mark 12. I want to lift this up as we are right where this word becomes very relevant to our course. And I have a New Living Translation Bible. I pray that you'll follow us as you fire up your smartphones, tablets, and you pull up your Bible apps. Let's go to Mark 12 at verse 41. And we'll just read just a little bit of the setup portion of the preaching. Amen. In Mark 12 at verse 44, which is the last offering of the text, it says this: she is poor, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. You may be seated. Jesus reminds us that giving is always critical, and it is always impactful. It has impact even when it seems small. And so I want to lift up just a few minutes of your time. Again, from Mark 12 at verse 44, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, if you'll just fix a little smile on your face and help me right along through here. Yep, smile just like that. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach when sacrifice isn't symbolic. Amen. When sacrifice isn't symbolic. We started out, Coach Palmer, a few weeks ago with the intent to be a sacrificial people. And we called the church together and we asked those who would commit their way to meet us in this place. And on that night, we gave our summary of understanding from the Holy Spirit as to what course we should take, and we called for 55 days of sacrifice. And some thought it gimmicky, some thought it was a ploy or some financial maneuvering, some hanky-panky on the part of the pastor to trick us into giving. But sacrifice is just that. It's sacrifice. Sacrifice was never intended to be easy. It was never intended to be lightly entered into. It must require something of us that is greater than ourselves. That's why we call it sacrifice. It does mean that we must take from ourselves in order to bless ourselves. Okay, y'all missed it. Sacrifice, if you could just give it and go, it's not really sacrifice. Sacrifice ought to make you walk about two paces and look back and ask yourself, can I do that? Walk another two paces and do the Urkel. Did I just do that? Did I just give my last, not knowing where my next will come from? Few of us will ever live to the point in our lives where we really leave it all and walk away. There are few of us that have the courage to empty ourselves and not know when next will be filled. But that's what she did. She walks into the place and mind you, I don't know if she came from Bible study or revival or church conference or consecration service, but something stirred her to move. And I would suggest to you, beloved of God, that if you're still living, it ought not be too hard to stir you to move. She moves, Sister Calloway, and she goes about this business alone. She didn't bring a pew partner. She didn't bring a buddy. She didn't have a prayer warriors. She moves along. Can I help some of you who have been waiting for somebody else to signify with you or to validate you or to tell you, yeah, it's a good idea, I'm going to do it, you ought to go on and do it. There has to be a time in the true believer's life, true believers in quotation marks, when you have the courage to do it by yourself. Okay, three of y'all got it. You can't keep sitting around waiting on committee to confirm your consecration to Christ. You can't keep waiting on somebody to tell you that they think it's all right. You've got to be strong enough to go by yourself and do what you need to do. Nobody will understand it like you understand it. And you ought not waste your time trying to explain to folk why you're doing what you're doing because you believe to get it done. And so it is. So it is. She moves beyond symbolism. Vicki, I didn't want to get in no trouble early in the preaching, but I feel it happening to me. Some of us are just too symbolic. Some of us don't mind walking in the parade when there's a lot of folk parading. But there are few of us who will tread on the battlefield in the midst of a volley. There are too many folk in here that like to grandstand but can't be grand. You understand? Symbolism is wonderful in some places. But when it comes to God, we got to move beyond being symbolic. Amen. We're so traditional in the church that if somebody move a flower vase 2 centimeters to the left, somebody call for a meeting. If the chair ain't where the chair was last week, or if we don't do it like we did it when Grandma Jones was in charge, somebody need to do something about that. We're too symbolic. We've got stuff stationed in the church, and we don't even know why it's there, but it's there, so it must mean something. No. We've got to move beyond symbolism and start realizing what significance and sacrifice will do for us. If it don't mean nothing to you, it'll never mean nothing to anybody else. So if you don't care about what you're doing, why would anybody care about what you do? And so she moves. And so there has to be a place in these 55 days, and we're well into it, but there has to be a place when we move beyond symbolism to where we truly understand sacrifice. Here's the rub, Jess. We don't mind folks sacrificing for us. And the fact of the matter is, a whole lot of y'all, that's how you went to college. That's how you got your meals. That's how you live where you live. Because somebody gave it up for you. But it amazes me how we feel so appreciative of others' sacrifice, but yet we are so inclined not to sacrifice on our own. As Clint Eastwood once said in the movie Unforgiven, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. God has been better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. Amen. Everybody ought to just say amen to that one. But here is a woman who by common sense and public opinion is the last one you'd expect to walk through that line. Jesus gives us the inside on she's gone all in. She ain't got nothing else. Most of you came by a little while ago, you walked by, but I'm willing to bet, Vicki, that about 75% of y'all got a whole lot more than you gave today. Whole lot of y'all got something else to go home. In fact, some of y'all got restaurant plans and movie plans and all manner of other things because you didn't leave it all here today. No, you didn't. No, see, y'all quiet. Y'all looking at me with bad intentions. You did not give up everything. Oh, you gave up some. You calculated what you'd give. You sit there and say, one for God, two for me. Two more for me. God don't need three. And so when we fell out our envelopes or when we put our loose change in and whenever we did what we did, you still got some in reserve. Nudge your neighbor and say, he got us. He got us. He ain't lying. We came to church
saying, I got to buy gas on the way home. I got to stop to the Kroger. I got to go to the food line. I got to feed the family. I can't leave it all in there. Besides, we looked around the room and figured, well, there's enough of us in here where mine ain't going to matter that much. But she didn't do that. Now, here's what you need to understand, beloved God. This was a daily routine. Every day, folk went to the gates. Every day, they went to give. And she didn't care what other folk did. She only concerned herself with moving beyond her own symbolism to being significant in her sacrifice. I'm praying to God today that some of y'all will get this. Please realize, beloved God, you ain't fooling the Lord. Shh, Pastor, don't say that. I've been working on this camouflage for a while. This is how I roll, Rem. I'm good at this. I give them a little bit on first Sunday, give them a little bit on second Sunday, give them a little bit on third Sunday. A little bit on fourth Sunday. If it's a fifth Sunday, I'm off. That ain't my Sunday to give. Fifth Sunday is a free ride. Pastor, don't say that. How dare you? Because I look at the reports. You do know when you put your name on that envelope, we use that information to keep up with you. Several of you have just decided I'll not put my name on another envelope. Here it is. There's an instance. I'll hurry. There's an instance in the Old Testament with Abraham. And Moses allows us to kind of get a glimpse of what happens with Abraham because we all know the story, at least most of us know, that Abraham goes to the mountain of sacrifice and he's been told to bring the one he loves, Isaac, which is important to recognize in that story because if he had said, just bring one of his son, killing Ishmael would have been easy. So he brings. No, notice what God does. God puts Abraham in a place where what he loves becomes the issue. Starling, did you see that set up? And I'm convinced that God got y'all because God puts what you love as the issue. Jess, can I get one in? Money. Oh, money. I got to get my hands on something. That's what y'all love. Don't look at me with them bad intentions. All of y'all love M-O-N-E-Y. It'll get you anything you want to buy. The problem with money in the church is you don't get to control how the money goes. So you won't let your money go. You like money. If you didn't like it, everybody who don't like money, just empty your pockets and bring it all up here right now. Anybody that don't love money, anybody don't care nothing about it, just bring it on up here. Did you notice, as I notice, nobody's moving? Everybody's holding fast. So he says to Abraham, I'll hurry along. He says, Abraham, bring him and we're going to sacrifice him. Well, better yet, you're going to sacrifice him. Bring Isaac. And so Abraham brings Isaac all the way up yonder mountain. Isaac recognizing that this trip requires a sacrifice. And him don't see one. So thinking his father may be in the early stages of some mental deficiency, feeling sorry for the old man, he says, Daddy, before we go any further, maybe we ought to stop the food line and pick up that ram or something. And Daddy says, the Lord will take care of it. And so Isaac, thinking he's a man of God and knows a little something about this, the Lord will take. Y'all missed that shout right there. Y'all sure didn't see it. The Lord will take care of it. But can God trust you to trust him for the unknown taking care of it? See, a whole lot of y'all walking around with your Isaac at your disposal, but you're so afraid to let go of Isaac that you can't grab what God's trying to give you. You're so afraid of letting go of what you think you got to have and what matters to you that you can't see God's provision and it's right in front of your face. Paul would remind you right long through here that you brought nothing in this world. And you'll carry, listen, I'm going to tell you now, I have advised everybody that's some kin to me, don't die rich. I'm going to have you. You won't have to worry about doing no estate sale for nobody in my family. I'll do the sale. You don't get to take nothing away from here. You walk around robbing God and then expecting God to keep blessing you, when the Isaac that he requires is not really what he wants. What God wants from you is obedience up to the point of the sacrifice. The sacrifice is not the issue. It's the obedience before the sacrifice. Abraham goes up there, and before he can slash his throat, he notices the ram. God says, now we got you. And a whole lot of us, I'm convinced of God, that what you think you're going to have to kill is what God's really trying to make live. Y'all missed it. You got to learn how to move beyond symbolism and watch what God will do. So Abraham finds the ram. You know the story. He takes care of that. And then he says, I got to rename this place. It becomes Jehovah Jireh. Can I add, Deacon Anderson, I'm going to get in trouble. When was the last time God made you change the name of some of the stuff you deal with? When was the last time your level of commitment to God brought about a name change in your circumstances? Rather than living by the mundane and the usual, I'm convinced that God wants to change some stuff in our lives. But because we are so fearful of faithfulness and following through to the end, we are relegated to being in stagnant and stank and stung places. And God is saying, that's not my plan for you. You live there because you won't leave, and you keep talking about leaving, but you don't want to listen. He says, well, you did it. Abraham comes out there looking good. And so it is, beloved of God. You have to realize that there is still Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord, he will provide. There's a kick right there, Reverend Muriel. I saw it. It is on the mountain of the Lord that you can't get the Lord's provision if you're on the wrong mountain. You living on mountains you created for yourself. You your own big ball and shot caller. You are the ears, the it, and all that kind of stuff. You the B-O-S-S and all that. You call the shots. You the H-B-N-I-S, you know, you can't say N-word no more. You all that. But it is on the mountain of the Lord that he will provide. My question is, when was the last time you went up the Lord's mountain? Oh, y'all mad at me now. Abraham recognizes that I could have symbolically done this, but I moved beyond that. And so she is, in this particular text, Mark and Luke gives us a story about it. Jesus is sitting there. And I think, Melvin, that his presence is significant to the situation of which he now reveals. Mind you, there are a lot of people coming and going, but the Bible says he's watching. Comings and goings of the offertory period and the process. And he pauses to take special notice of her. Who is she? She has no name. We're not introduced to her formally. Jesus is sitting there. And I'm pretty sure, Melvin, he was cool and says to the fellas, hey, check that out. They're minding their own beeswax. You know, they're 12 deep. You know, whenever you show up 12 deep, folk probably figure it's about to go down. You know, you show up at the offering period 12 deep, they think it's a robbery. I know, Tyke, if I was here pastoring and preaching as I am and 12 brothers showed up and lined the wall, I'm going to get my security detail, Eric, Tim, Deacon Antrim, y'all tighten up. Cock and lock, boys, I think it's going down. Because 12 brothers just came in and stopped, you know, kind of getting that little look. You know, Jesus is probably sitting there going, hey, check this out. And you know, the other folk looking around and see 12 guys looking in one direction, they figure that's where they're going to hear that right there. But he notices her. Some would say, well, maybe he knew her from a previous engagement. You know how it is, fellas, when we notice a particular her, folk think we want to, you know, hook up with her. You know how it is, fellas. Don't look at nothing right now. The ladies are going to get upset. But he noticed her and says, did y'all see that? Did y'all see that? They probably thinking that Jesus kind of like that who touched me scenario. Lord, are you serious? Everybody putting something in the basket. But he noticed her. And when Jesus noticed her, he says something about her. He said that she just did what nobody else did. And everybody's doing the same thing. Y'all missed it. She just did what nobody else did, but everybody's doing the same thing. You know what I've discovered, Coach Palmer? When a lot of us walk around the table, we're doing what everybody else is doing. I'm waiting on the day when somebody will do what nobody else just did. That's a free shot right there. Jesus says, now here's the real kick, and I'll hurry along. Jesus says, check her out. And then he says, she just gave it up. That's all of it. Now notice, you don't, Mark nor Luke gives us a reply from the boy. They're stunned too, because probably they're trying to figure out which her he's talking about. This is a widow. Eric, here's the kick. She's putting money into an offering that is designed for widows. And she's a widow. Y'all missed it. She has every right to give nothing, because what is being collected is for her. But she walks in and sows a seed into a ministry of which she is seedless. Y'all missed it. She comes in. Now she could have been selfish, and it might have been strategic. Let me throw that in. Because here's the way to look at it, Reverend Alton. You and Reverend Muriel can help them with the deep theological part of this. But here's the way to look at it. She could have put it in knowing that afternoon they'll be coming by the house to give it out. So she is kind of helping her own cause. Now, see, I could take that as some in-house pastoral whooping preaching right along through here. Because I can turn that thing around where I can say to some of y'all, you should at least be stupid enough to help your own cause. But I won't, because that would be unkind. But she could have been set herself up for a blessing. Here it is. I give two mites, I get back $30. You know, when they come back, they're not going to say, listen, how much you put in and you get that back out. See, that's how some of y'all think. That's why some of y'all won't bless God in this church. You keep thinking that what you put in is all you're going to get. No. You're not putting in to get it out. You're putting in to give it up. There's a shout go right there. You can't keep coming here and going, well, I'm just going to put this much in. No. You got to give it up. She didn't do that though. So Christ looks at everybody, and there's a process, and everybody comes and give. Now here's what happens. He watches for a reason. I'm hurrying now. He notices everybody, but takes special notice of her. I'm wondering, were there any persons today who came around with the intent to be noticed? Not by man, but by God. Is there anybody who came through here today and you dropped all you had, not really looking for his attention, but appreciative of the fact that you know he's watching? Jesus sees everybody, Coach, and he knows if we're stashing, he knows if we're liberal, he knows if we're being charitable, he knows if we're being grudging, he knows if we're reluctant, and he watches the activity of everybody, but notices her. Nudge your neighbor and ask him, are you the one? Yeah, because when he notices, he makes an issue of it. And I want you to understand, beloved God, that it does not matter what men say about your giving, but it matters what God says. Because a whole lot of y'all, you know, you're thinking somebody like that, and you like to tell folks, well, I put $100 in. Well, it's all right if you put $100 in. That's just fine. But you kept $700. You know, Ananias says, you brought a tithe, but you didn't bring the tithe. And so it is, Jesus does two things that are particularly interesting here. First of all, you have to notice that his gaze was not based on their greed. He's not watching to find out who's greedy. He's watching to see who's gracious. Okay. Jesus is sitting there, and when sacrifice moves beyond symbolism, it always catches the Lord's attention. And I'm here to tell you, beloved of God, that when you give, you ought to try to get God's attention. Amen. Because, watch this now, because when you get paid, you get folks' attention. How many of you got friends that you can tell when they got their little dust in their pocket? You got friends that as long as they got it, you got it. Come on, talk back to me now. I'm coming on around the block now. You got friends that don't throw a party till they can throw a party. You got friends that don't belly up to the bar till they can buy the bar. You got friends that don't drive till they got a tank full of gas. You can always tell when folk got it because they'll give it. How many of you ever been out with folk and they keep saying, oh, I got it. I got it. And then that one time you go and they ain't got it. And the person say, how many checks? And they say, one. Mine, theirs, and you got it, so you give it. Jesus is watching them and he wants to see who's gracious. He's knowing all conditions, but he makes notice of her condition. Jesus even tells the apostles, the disciples, she can't afford to do that. It's right there in the text. He says, what she just did empties everything out of her. She can't afford it. So he says, out of all of them, he saw her. Stacy, second point is, he pointed out her presence and her poise. What are you saying, Pastor? It was uncommon what she did. It was unchallenged, but it was also uncircumstantial. In other words, she didn't try to walk up like it was the last thing she had. She didn't try to get no attention by going, this is it, Lord. She just did it. She didn't try to get no, all she did was did what she did. Jesus is the one that makes the point of her poverty. Y'all missed it. What am I saying, Darlene? I'm telling you, Jesus already knows you're about broke. Jesus knows you ain't got no job. Jesus knows that he left you and left you all the bills and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to make a point of your poverty. You just need to be poised and make your presentation. God will make note of your poverty. And what she does is all she had to do. Here it is. She comes by and Jesus is doing it with the gaze. But notice the gravity of the gift. Because the Bible says when symbolic moves beyond, excuse me, when sacrifice moves beyond symbolism, here's the answer. You gain far more than you'll ever give. What did you say, Pastor? I said when your sacrifice moves beyond symbolism, you will gain far more than you ever give. Ain't but seven amens. I'll say it again. When your sacrifice moves beyond symbolism, you will discover that you will gain far more than you ever give. Some of y'all eat free, ride free, sleep free. You got it going on like that, but it ain't because you gave. You just gaining. Some of y'all way ahead on the free ride side. Say amen, somebody. She comes up, watch this, three things, and we can go about our business. First of all, she was unselfish. She could have looked out for herself. She could have not gone to church that day. She could have kept her two mites. She could have did anything else but what she did. And here is where most of us get in trouble. It is because we have options that we don't do obedience. She did the opposite. It was because she had options that she chose obedience. She did not have to go give them two mites. She is a recipient. She is well entitled to whatever they bring in distribution. But rather than wait on distribution, she shows her determination by giving her sacrifice. Too many of us are sitting around waiting on somebody to give us something because we're entitled. The devil is a liar. Instead of sitting around waiting on somebody to bring you something, you go give something. She's not selfish. Not only that, but she was sincere. She did what she could while she could. A whole lot of us right now sitting on fat wallets. Our purses can't even be zipped up because we are not sincere. I wish I had brought out the list of last week's report because a whole lot of names on there were not sincere. Folk gave a little bit and went right on out the door because they realized that they were selfish. But their selfishness was an act of symbolism because we had the audacity to actually walk during the tithing period and not tithe. Thank you, grandson. You understand, beloved of God, that when you are sincere, you'll catch God's eye. And I put a note here. Come here. Let me get you to testify because I don't like no thing. I put that say right there.
Sincere? I thought some of them would be moving by now.
That's what my note said. Come on, read it again. Put your glasses on tight this time.
I thought some of y'all would be moving by now.
I really did. I thought by now some of y'all said, you know what, he got me. God darn it all, he got me. I got to get sincere. Amen. But y'all ain't moving, so I'm going on to my next point. She did it because it was the thing to do secretly. She owed God. And she did not take the fact that she thought God was unfair to be unfair to God. She could have complained, Michael. She could have said, it ain't right for me to be a widow. It wasn't right for my husband to die. It ain't right for me to be poor. It ain't right for me to be hungry. But she didn't do that. She girded up her loins, grabbed her little pocketbook, little change purse, and she went down to the house of God. And gave it up. And walked off with dignity. She didn't look back. She didn't expect a fair exchange. She did it. Our problem is this. We are so sophomoric. And so sadity. That we cannot sacrifice. Lest we get somebody's attention. Lest somebody makes note of the fact that we did something above and beyond the call of duty. You're alive. You could have been dead or should have been dead and sleeping in your grave. And God kept you alive. And you can't saint in your heart to sacrifice unto God who fed you, clothed you, protected you. And yet you sit in God's house with your arms folded and your eyes rolled back in your head. And still say, I ain't going. I've already gave. She did it. And Jesus, you got me on this one. He knew that was it. He didn't try to stop her. He didn't say, come here, daughter. In light of what you've done, let me. You know what he did? He didn't try to put a spotlight on her. He let her cast off into the shadow. And coach, that's part of our problem. All of us want to be in the spotlight when what God is saying is drift off into the shadows. It should be well enough for you to know I saw you. Now notice what he does not do. He doesn't even let her know he saw her. He doesn't say, bless you, baby. Jesus does nothing. And there is another problem. Some of you think that because Jesus don't give you a shout out or doesn't put you on the program that he didn't see you. Nudge your neighbor and say, shadows are good places. She moves. I understand God. I'm going home. I understand the gaze of Jesus. I understand the gravity of her giving. I got it. I see that because she could have done something so differently. And because he sees in secret and rewards openly. I got that. I understand that. But here's what blessed me. In this text, preachers, I see it. It is really not about the gaze of Jesus. The Bible says he sits and looks from the collection box, notices what people are doing. It's really not about the gravity of her giving. What this is really about is the significance beyond symbolism of the generosity of God. It's right there in the text. This story points to Calvary in an unmistakable way. Because what this story reminds us of is that he who gives is greater than he who gains. It's right. It's in the generosity of God. The Bible says, watch this now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only. It's the same story. She gave the last thing and only thing she had left that it would bless somebody else. What she put into the treasury would bless somebody else, and she would be without. God loves us so much that the gift that he gives empties him but fills us. Y'all don't win the shout. It is the salvation that came from the sacrifice he gave. If God had not emptied himself, we would all be dead and sleeping in our graves. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it was not symbolic. It was sacrifice. It is the gift. It is the generosity of God that moves me. And then it is the grace that I see. I see the gift, but I see the grace. Because Paul reminds us that it will always be sufficient. Paul reminds us, Michael, that you don't have to worry. Grace will see you through. He reminds us that even when we mess up, even when we are selfish, even when we are thieves and robbers and liars, his grace is sufficient. Paul said, Lord, I tried to get myself together. I tried to work out my stuff, but I realized that no matter what I did, I couldn't do enough. And so it is, God says, Paul, I heard you the first time. I heard you the second time. I heard you the third time. But Paul, what I need you to understand is that grace is sufficient. What grace does is make up what we can't fix up. What grace does is fill where there are too many gaps. And I want you to understand, beloved of God, that the reason many of you are still alive today is not because of your generosity, not because of your good, healthy eating, not because you've done anything less than you used to do, but simply because God's grace is sufficient. Some of us are still going to be smoking, drinking, and lying, but God's grace is sufficient. Some of us may never tithe like we ought to tithe, but God's grace is sufficient. And I would tell you, you ought not to take too much advantage of grace, but learn to appreciate grace. And so Paul says that no matter how long the night, no matter how fierce the storm, God's grace is sufficient. And I need you to understand that God is not a symbolic God, but God is a God of significance. Everything God does it well. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am living proof that God does everything well. Because I was tore up from the floor up. I was losing my mind. I could have lost my way. But God sent a rescue ranger and picked me up, turned me around. I was so blind I couldn't see. I was so lost I couldn't be found. But thanks be unto God, his grace was sufficient. Others have died around me, others that were more popular than I, but thanks be unto God, I'm still here because of the grace of God. It's not because I pray right. It's not because I sing right. But God's grace, I said God's grace. Grandma put it this way. He looked beyond my faults to meet my every need. I wish I had three witnesses that can tell somebody through it all. God's grace, through the pain, God's grace, through my deception, God's grace. Anybody know that grace will carry the day? Look at your name and say, neighbor, by grace, I still yet stand. By grace, I still yet serve. By grace, I'm still able to wave my hand. By grace, by grace, by grace, say yeah. And look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, it's by grace, but you can't by grace. It's by grace, but you can't by grace. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, his grace is priceless. His grace is above cost. Anybody know that grace is just grace? Can you say grace? Thank God for grace. Ain't grace all right? Ain't grace your help? Ain't grace your joy? Ain't grace your peace? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. But then I gotta go. Not only, Michael, is it the gift and the grace, but I see the glory. The Bible says that when we all get there with him, that we're gonna share his glory. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad that God's got a glory that's not like anybody else's glory. I'm so glad that the glory is his, the grace is his, the gift is his. But my gratitude is when I tell him thank you because God allowed me to share his glory. Look at one more name and say, neighbor, I ain't no big baller and I ain't no shot caller, but by grace and the glory of God, I am what I am. God made me like this. He walks with me. He talks with me. Anybody say yeah? I'm so thankful that the Lord lifted me. The writer said I was sinking deep in sin. Didn't think I'd ride no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my cry. Anybody ever cried? Anybody ever cried? And from the waters, he lifted me. Now saved. Look at your name and say, now saved. Am I? The glory of the Lord will fill this place, and soon and very soon we're going to see the King, and the glory of the Lord will meet us there, and glory will say, come on in. Glory will say, sit right down. Glory will say, it's all right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because when he died, they stretched him wide, put a crown on his head, but glory told him to get up. Glory told him to rise. Glory told him to live. Aren't you glad right now that glory still works? Glory still works. Don't it work, y'all? Don't glory work? Say yeah. Say yeah. Glory to God. It's my gratitude. He saved me. Gave up his best for the worst. Some of us, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, Reverend, I'm not like that. I don't want to say you are, but the evidence is clear. We have few folk who truly understand sacrifice. Pastor, when we called this moment a few days ago, it was really my prayer to God that we would rally to the cause. I really thought that we packed the room that night and say, God, we're going to do it. You cannot keep saying that you trust God that every good and perfect gift will come down from the Father and do nothing with what you already have. There's a song that says, my storage is empty and I'm available
The only way you empty your storage is to empty your storage. Too many of us, Darlene, are trying to hold things in reserve. Thinking of a rainy day. Thinking of some other calamity which is to come. I trust God one day at a time. I wrote a check for $700 today. You'll see it. It's back there. $700. You think some of y'all looking at me crazy? You think $700 whole dollars. You know why? Because I ain't gonna lose nothing. I don't care. I was proud. Sit down and write my check. $700. So what's $700? Nothing. I'm not asking you to gratify. See, I'm glad you didn't clap. Because that ain't what I'm telling. I'm trying to show you that true commitment and sacrifice will always have its reward. Now, I'm not going to walk out of here today looking up toward heaven, waiting on God to give me something for something. He's already given me. I'm breathing. Amen. I can hop on one leg. I can see. I got mine. Then he ought to get his. I put my note there toward the end again and said, I really thought by now y'all would move. I really thought by the time we got to the generosity of God, we would get it. You brought nothing to the game, and yet he lets you play. You brought nothing to the table, and he lets you eat. You came in a beggar, and now you live in large. Who wouldn't sacrifice to a God like that? I'm never going to steal from God a day in my life. And he can never ask me too much. Because whatever he asks me, he's already provided a way for me to do it. He never overtasks us. It's a trust issue. I don't know this woman's theology. I don't know what church she went to. I don't know who her pastor was. But Jesus saw her and said, Mark, make sure you write that down. Luke, write that down. Because she did something today. Caught my attention. Somebody would have probably thought to themselves, she's just trying to be seen. She didn't even know he saw her. She just walked by and kept moving. Went on out the door. I don't know where she went. I don't know. Nobody don't know. She didn't even come back to the book writing sign, and she didn't show up. I don't know who she is, but he saw her. And it was more than symbolism. Because he said the others gave because they had it to give. It's in the story. He said the others gave out of their wealth, out of their own internal mechanisms. They could do that. There are 13 of these receptacles spread around the wall. They're shaped like trumpets. You can go read that story. But they did that every day. And Jesus says, look at them. But none of them are in this story. You want to get in this story? Move beyond symbolism. Do something sacrificial. Let us stand on our feet. Time to let y'all go. See, I know you're thinking, it's a setup. No, it's a help up. I'm just trying to help y'all. Because you can't leave here in debt to God. You're going to leave here owing GMAC, Ford Credit, Chrysler, Nissan. You're going to leave here owing SunTrust, Wells Fargo, Quicken Loans, all them people. You're going to owe some. If you do anything in this course called life, you're going to leave here owing somebody. In fact, two or three of y'all owe me money. I need to see y'all after church. I need mine back. Don't leave now if you owe me. If you owe me, stay. No, just kidding. But you can't keep robbing God and expecting to receive from God. The Lord says this. He said, listen, those of you who have been platituded by man, patted on the back by man, you've already got yours. Move on. But this woman is so wonderful in that she walks by that trumpet-shaped device, puts in her two and keeps stepping. She was smooth, Jess. I can hear the music playing as she walked by. She's a bad mamma jamma. Just as faithful as she can be. Looks like she's pawning to the clothes she wears. Essence of beauty. Ooh, what? Oh, that's different. Sorry. I just can hear the choir, the band. The choir was playing that song when she came by. Maybe it was Tom Jones, She's a Lady. No? Okay. No, not that one, because Tom Jones tried to make it funky. Here it is, y'all. He saw her. He sees you. She was faithful. Are you? He's going to be faithful to you. In the end, it all matters. And so I want to say to you today, the generosity of God is wrapped up in his salvation. He wants you to be saved. And I want to say to you, as you get ready to go, I know y'all got to leave. It's time to go. But please, beloved of God, don't keep stealing your own blessings. Because whatever you put in the house will bless you. I've seen some of y'all go through crisis in your life when y'all didn't have no job, y'all didn't have a car. I've seen some of y'all when the car broke, the roof leaked, the babies had diaper rash, colic. I've heard you cry. I've seen the tears. And look at you now. You've recovered. You're okay. It was a season. You know, I remember. Don't make me call names, but how can we not respond in faithfulness to the God who's been faithful? Some of us have been hurt by brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. Well, we old school aunties. But God has been faithful. Man, in him we live, move, and have our being. How can we steal from God? Church, let's raise it up a few notches. Let's go for it. And let's increase the gravity of our giving. Let's make the trustees hurt their fingers on Sundays. Make them get cramps. Make them break leads out of pencils. Let's wear that machine out back there because we're faithful. Don't let another Sunday go by when you walk out unfaithful because you know you didn't give it all. And all with God doesn't mean you got to be busted. It just means your reasonable service. I saw some of y'all move today. I didn't see everybody move. But Eric, I'm counting the day when God's going to push our hearts and we're going to have an assembly line of faithfulness. Because you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. And do remember, beloved of God, as much as you may not appreciate all I have to tell you, the Bible says, none but the righteous shall see God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for these. Thank you, Lord, for watching us, taking notice of what we do. You saw her. She didn't know you saw her. She didn't know you were going to be there. She just moved. She wasn't trying to be noticed. She didn't try to catch anybody's attention, but her presence, her poise, was so profound that you took notice. In this room, there are very similar people, very similar circumstances. Some of us, Lord, have come out of trials and tribulations, and we thought we weren't going to make it. We lost jobs, we lost credit ratings, we lost people we love, we lost houses, cars, friends, kind of, sort of, Lord, you name it, we lost it. But look at us now. We're still here. And every day, Lord, it's getting better. What shall we say unto these things? God be for us. And so, Lord, would you accept our humble sacrifice? Just maybe you struck a nerve with us today in the preaching, gave us something to think about. But God, would you move us from thinking to action? A whole lot of big thinkers, Lord, in this house. Not enough action. Thank you, Lord, today for being faithful. Now, God, as we get ready to go out, before we leave, somebody heard your voice in the salvation call today. That young man, that young woman, they'll just come to Jesus. Can't leave home without you. Couldn't make it if we tried. Would you touch that heart today? They'll step out and commit their way, for there is no other way. Thanks for the grace, Lord. It kept us through the watches of the night. It rode with us up the highway today. It's going to ride with us back home. It sat down with us at the table. It kept us when we couldn't keep ourselves. Save somebody today. I'm standing next to someone today, Lord, that I may have never stood next to before in my life. And so, God, I want to witness into that life on the right or left of me that Jesus saves. So my neighbor, my friend, you need him. You ought to go on up there. Give your life to Christ, because I'm a living testimony that he'll take anybody. He took me. Boy, I tell you, when I first came to the Lord, neighbor, I was raggedy. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I was on the run, but he took me. I had excess baggage. Rumors were abounding, but he took me. And ever since that day, my life has not been the same. Don't think you're too low, neighbor, that he can't lift you up. Don't think you're too far out, he won't come get you. Don't think you're so bad that he don't want to have nothing to do with you. In fact, neighbor, I want to let you know you're just what he's been looking for. You sure enough fit the bill. Who then can be saved? You can. Would you come today, neighbor? I'll walk with you. You don't have to walk alone. The doors of the church are open just for you. This is your day of grand reception. Peter says, when we get there, we're going to be met with a rich welcome. This is your day. If all are at peace with their present condition, and you feel that you can carry the load another day, God give you strength, because you don't have to walk alone. Father, there are sick among us. There are healed among us. There are those, Lord, who are waiting for the next phone call from doctors, nurses, treatment centers, technicians. God, when the phone rings, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost be our receiving ear. That whatever they say, Lord, would you filter it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll hear your voice above whatever they say, because your report is the report we will believe. Heal our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our fathers, our sons. Somebody's family member, Lord, is waiting. Somebody's family member is in line for a consultation. Somebody's family member has not been heard from. Somebody is struggling with their own secret sin. Touch, Lord. Do what you've done before. you have our license to do it again. For my neighbor, for my friend, traveling mercies to all, power, glory, strength to all, that you can get through what you're going through, even on broken pieces. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Hug at least four or five folks. Say something nice to them. Tell them you're more than a symbol. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. More than a symbol, my brother.